here's a story from The World.
The pandemic has upended a lot of plans this year, including a UN summit that was supposed to happen in Glasgow this month, where countries were expected to announce ambitious new targets for cutting greenhouse gas emissions over the next decade. It was postponed a year. The UN and partner countries are instead hosting an online event tomorrow to mark the fifth anniversary of the Paris Agreement. It's designed to nudge countries to make big announcements this year anyway. I'm joined by Deputy Secretary General of the United Nations, Amina Mohammed. Deputy Secretary General Mohammed, what is the UN hoping will happen at this virtual summit tomorrow?
Tomorrow is very special because it does mark 5 years since the Paris Agreement came into effect. And what it is doing is taking stock of where we are with those targets that we've set for net zero, on public financing, on the efforts that have been made within our nationally determined contributions, which our commitments by each country. Heads of state and government will be putting commitments where they've improved on them. This summit tomorrow is not just about commemorating Paris Plus Five, but saying, what have you actually done?
Now, there's been a fear this year that because of the pandemic, work to limit the impacts of global warming through the Paris process will essentially be shelved for a year. Is it looking like that's going to be the case, or does the pandemic actually provide the opportunity for kind of reset with stimulus funding and a temporary dip in emissions?
Well, the pandemic clearly was an enormous health crisis, but it was an even bigger socioeconomic one. And I think everyone had the time to pause. And as we paused, we reflected on how we could take the opportunity from this crisis. And so looking at these stimulus packages that countries have put forward, how to look at a response that would help us in the recovery to green from now. So for instance, to look at what an energy transition would look like, moving from fossil fuels to solar power, for instance. This has been quite exciting because we've seen a lot of forward leaning from business, from governments, particularly at the subnational level. Our cities, our governors across the world have been stepping up. So the possibilities are there. Clearly, we still have challenges when it comes to financing the climate agenda. But I think once we understand that financing elements of the climate agenda will lift the sustainable development agenda, and therefore we're taking all of it together, but just using perhaps the climate investments to accelerate what we need to do towards a 1.5 degree world.
You mentioned jobs, and a lot of people see economic development and work to limit greenhouse gas pollution as opposing goals. But I know you see them as going hand in hand. Why?
As we see it now, what we have to do is to make clear that it's not taking away, it's actually adding value to our lives, to the sustainability of the planet, and as we said, to livelihoods and jobs, which are incredibly important.
You were one of the few senior officials at the UN who spent part of last year traveling. And I know you went to your home country of Nigeria and around West Africa and the Sahel. Did you see the effects of climate change during your travels?
Absolutely, I did. I was only there 3 weeks ago. I was in Nigeria, Niger, Mali, Sierra Leone, and Ghana. And in each case, it was evident. In Northeast Nigeria, climate change has been, of course, exacerbated by conflict. There are millions of people that have been displaced. We've seen the drying up of Lake Chad, which fed over 40 million people in terms of the fish industry that was there, but also the farming industry that was there. And all that has gone away. It has opened up this huge gap where it has been occupied by terrorism. So, I mean, climate really is a problem for many, many issues. In each case, we also saw opportunities. In each case, we saw there are the investments that could be made to bring an end to climate change as we see it on the ground.
Are you from a part of Nigeria that's directly experiencing the impact of climate change?
Yes, I am. I come from the northeast of Nigeria. I went to school in Maiduguri, but I actually come from Gombe. And in both cases, you can see you wake up one day, farmlands are wiped out by the desert and climate change. That's a very real happening in the lives of my extended family and many people in that region.
We're speaking with Deputy Secretary General of the United Nations, Amina Mohammed, about tomorrow's virtual summit on climate change. In 2009, rich nations agreed to provide poorer ones $100 billion in funding a year by 2020 to combat climate change. It doesn't look like the world has quite gotten there. How does the UN hope to close this gap?
We are proposing to close the gap by continue to advocate that public finance and private finance needed to come together this year. We actually saw good trends in 2018, 2019, but we will not have met the target by 2020. And it has been, to a degree, exacerbated by COVID. What we're hoping this summit will do is, again, put pressure and put fire under the feet of those leaders that need to bring those resources to the table.
Now, outgoing President Trump removed the U.S. from the Paris Agreement. President-elect Joe Biden has said on day one in office he plans to rejoin the Paris Agreement. He won't be at tomorrow's virtual summit, but do you think the change in the U.S. administration is having an influence on how other leaders are approaching the meeting?
Well, the U.S. leadership has always been an integral part of the success of the Paris Agreement. They were there in Paris in 2015 to make it happen. Having the U.S. back in the tent is incredibly important to the ambitions that we set ourselves in Paris, and they seem much nearer now than they did perhaps a year or two ago. And so we very much look forward to it.
Do you have your sights on a few different countries who are going to be at the virtual meeting tomorrow to kind of step forward and make any big announcements?
Well, we are. I mean, we've seen the UK, of course, will be there making their announcements. We expect that already announcements from Japan, Korea. We have a list of countries which are now, of course, up for everyone to see on our website. So we had hoped for more, but we do see, good trends coming from countries like India that have been very forward-leaning on the solar side, the energy transitions. This really is a curtain raiser to that road to COP26. What we say here will give us indications of the road we have to travel and the gaps and the ambition that we will have to raise as we start out in 2021.
Amina Mohammed is the Deputy Secretary General of the United Nations. She's been speaking to me from UN headquarters in New York. I want to thank you very much for speaking with us.
Thank you very much for having me.
Also today, the latest news on what becoming a world of homebodies has done for the global climate. A new tally out today, the most complete one yet, finds greenhouse gas pollution is down 7% for the year. That's according to a report from the Global Carbon Project, a group of dozens of international scientists who track emissions. They say the drop is mostly because people are simply staying home, traveling less by cars and planes. Here in the U.S., emissions of planet-warming greenhouse gases fell by a lot, 12%. In China, the drop was just under 2%. That's partly because China is still operating closer to normal times. An aggressive early lockdown there helped limit the spread of the virus and kept the wheels of Chinese society spinning. When this pandemic finally ends, global carbon emissions are expected to jump up again. Still, officials say it's possible that carbon pollution hit its peak in 2019 and may start to head on a downward trajectory.